Our Father in heaven, as we consider the doctrine of election today, Lord, please comfort our hearts. We pray that you would give us assurance that we have been chosen in Christ, not because we are worthy of it, but because of your grace. Bless us through your word now, by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Found on page 976 in the church Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-14. And now please give this reading your full attention as it is God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. And now please take your outline, or you can turn in your forms and prayers book to page 260. Tonight we continue our new series in the Canons of Dort covering Article 7. Article 7, I'll read it now. Election, or choosing, is God's unchangeable purpose by which he did the following. Before the foundation of the world, by sheer grace, according to the free good pleasure of his will, he chose in Christ to salvation a definite number of particular people out of the entire human race which had fallen by its own fault from its original innocence into sin and ruin. Those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than the others, but lay with them in the common misery. He did this in Christ, whom he also appointed from eternity to be the mediator, the head of all those chosen, and the foundation of their salvation. And so he decided to give the chosen ones to Christ to be saved, and to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through his word and spirit. In other words, he decided to grant them true faith in Christ, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of his Son, to glorify them. God did all this in order to demonstrate his mercy to the praise of the riches of his glorious grace. As Scripture says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world so that we should be holy and blameless before him. With love, he predestined us, whom he adopted as his children through Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, by which he freely made us pleasing to himself in his beloved. And elsewhere, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is election? In our study of the canons of Dort, we have already touched on this doctrine of election, but today we get to consider it in greater depth. And let's begin with the basics. We'll start with the word itself. What does election mean? Well, when we speak of a presidential election, we're talking about choosing who will be our next president. That's what election means. It means choosing. And God's elect are his chosen ones. And today, as we work through Article 7 of the Canons of Dort, we will consider some of the details of when, how, and why God chose certain people to be saved and chose to pass by others. So let's jump right in, and we'll start with the first detail we're given in Article 7, which is when the elect were chosen. When did God choose whom he would save? The answer is before the foundation of the world. The canons draw this answer directly from the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Romans 9, verses 10 through 12 explains that when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. You see, friends, God's electing decision was made far in advance of our birth so that God was able to prophesy regarding Jacob and Esau even before they were born. And the Bible says the reason for this was in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. In fact, Scripture emphasizes that this prophecy was given before the twins were born and before they had done anything good or bad. The point is that God elects, God chooses his own before the foundation of the world, before we had done anything good or bad, and this serves to prove that we are not chosen on the basis of our merits. We are not chosen on the basis of our good works, nor on the basis of our foreseen faith, but rather we are chosen upon the basis of God's free, gracious, and merciful decision alone. And the canons highlight this truth when we read the words, sheer grace. It is by grace alone, according to the free pleasure of God's will, that God chose sinners in Christ to salvation. What's more, God did not merely choose a certain group of people like those who end up believing. The Arminians sometimes try to paint election as if God chose an unspecified church, as if God chose to save that group of people who, of their own free will, would end up satisfying a certain condition, like believing. They argue that God chose a group, but he did not choose particular people in that group to save. And how do we respond to that? Well, the Arminians are wrong. The Bible is clear that God chose specific people, or as the canons put it here, he chose a definite number of particular people. In Romans 9:13, God says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And so clearly God chose Jacob and rejected Esau. And God did so not on the basis of their foreseen good works or faith, but simply upon the basis of God's sovereign good pleasure. See, from the very beginning, God had a plan. God had a plan that cannot fail, a plan which God himself determined before the foundation of the world. At that time, God chose to save certain sinners. And so we've answered the question of when God elected, but now let's consider why God elected. Why did God choose certain people for a salvation? See, in our experience, when we choose something or someone, it is often based on the merit of that particular person. For example, ladies, if you choose a man to marry, it usually is, at least in part, because of his good looks and his work ethic and the fact that he's a nice guy and a believer. Or men, if you choose a woman to marry, it is at least partially because she is beautiful, faithful, committed, and kind. We tend to choose people based on their merit. And, well, if someone is mean to you, or if someone treats you like dirt, then you'll probably not choose them. You will choose not to spend time with a person who's like it because you feel they don't deserve it. But does God choose this way? Does God choose certain people because they are better than others, or because they're at least not quite as bad as some others? As we already kind of answered this question considering when God elects, but we really need to drive the point home. And the answer is no. As Article 7 says, those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than the others, but lay with them in the common misery. By nature, we are all guilty in our sins. As Isaiah 64:6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Even the very best things that we do are sinful, so sinful that they are completely unacceptable to God. Even our very best works merit us nothing but condemnation. We increase our debt every single day. And it has been this way all our life long. David confesses in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. By nature, we all fall short of the glory of God. By nature, we are all worthy, deserving of eternal condemnation. And yet, in spite of this, God chose to save some sinners out of this damnable mass of humanity. Again, God's salvation comes to us by sheer grace. In fact, in Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8, God explains his reasoning for electing Israel. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And why did God choose them? Well, God says, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It was not because of their good works, not because of their strength, nor because of anything about them that the Lord chose to rescue Israel. And it is not because you are such a great, kind, cuddly person that God chose to save you. It is not because you did your part. It is not because you were seeking God a little more than any other sinner, nor because deep in your heart you are at least a tiny bit better than everyone else. Believer, it is for no other reason than sheer grace, amazing grace, that God chose to set his love on you. As Reverend Cornelius Pronk writes, all who are saved learn this, and they learn to adore the sovereign election of God. They know that in them there is no reason whatsoever that they should have been chosen rather than others. The question that God's people begin to ask as soon as they know they belong to his chosen ones is, why me, O Lord? That question they will repeat throughout all eternity. Why hast thou set thy love upon me? I am no better than anyone else. It's such a miracle to them that God should have chosen them. Even more amazing is that God chose them before the foundation of the world. And if you'll look at your Bible with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, notice the logic here. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Believer, it is not because you were more holy and blameless than others that God elected you. Rather, God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. What does it say? That you should be holy and blameless before him. God chose you so that he might make you holy. God chose you so that he might justify you, adopt you, sanctify you, and glorify you in Christ. It was nothing in you or about you that convinced God to save you. He freely chose to have mercy upon you, even though you deserved the exact opposite, even though you deserved eternal condemnation. And maybe you don't like to hear that. After all, it is rather humiliating, isn't it? It is rather humiliating to confess that literally nothing in our hands we bring, simply to his cross we must cling. Naked, come to him for dress. Helpless, look to him for grace. Foul, we to the fountain fly, crying, "Wash me, Savior, or I die." When you are humbled to understand that this is your natural state before God, that you can bring literally nothing before him except your sin, well, it sure is humiliating. But it is also wonderful to know that even though you could never earn it, even though you have not merited it, even though you have demerited it, nevertheless, God chose to set his electing love upon you, believer. He didn't have to. He could have justly left you to perish along with the rest. Romans 9, 21 through 23 says, "Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory?" As the potter, God is free to choose whom to save and whom to pass by. And it is his free will that shall stand. And if you don't like it, if you don't like that God gets to decide who is saved and who is not, well, quite frankly, who are you to tell God what he can and cannot do? Who do you think you are to tell God what he should do? Isn't God God? Doesn't God, as God, have the right to choose whom he wishes to save and the right to pass by whom he wishes to pass by? He most certainly does. So why does God choose certain people? Not because of anything about those people, but only because of his own free decision, his own free choice to love them. And may we praise God for his amazing grace. Well, now the canons bring us to Christ, who is the center of salvation and who is also the center of election. At the end of the first paragraph in Article 7, we read, "He did this in Christ, whom he also appointed from eternity to be the mediator, the head of all those chosen, and the foundation of their salvation." Now here's something we don't think about all that often. Our election does not only have to do with God choosing us, but it also has to do with God choosing Christ to be our mediator, to be our head, and to be the foundation of our salvation. Cornelius Pronk writes, "God entered into a covenant with his own Son and with the Spirit. This is called the covenant of redemption. According to this covenant, God the Father chose the Son and gave him a certain number whom he would save by dying for them and shedding his blood on their behalf. The Spirit would apply the salvation thus merited by Christ the Son to the hearts of the elect." And as we read in the next paragraph of the canons, "And so he decided to give the chosen ones to Christ to be saved, and to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through his word and spirit." In other words, he decided to grant them true faith in Christ, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of his Son, to glorify them. Friends, our election is into Christ. And this comes out so beautifully in our scripture passage. In fact, we can even work through Ephesians chapter 1, verse by verse, and see that all of these salvation blessings come to us where? How? In Christ. Let's look at this together. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Who is the beloved? It's Jesus. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. And verse 9, this purpose he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. And it just keeps going. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. And verse 13, in him also, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You see, friends, the Apostle Paul announces it over and over and over again that all of our salvation takes place in Jesus Christ. In him, we are elected to be united to Christ, to be made one with him. And this is the blessed truth we proclaim whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we did this morning. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, we actually are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, the same Holy Spirit as governs Jesus Christ, just as the members of our body are governed by one soul. You see, friends, this is the real deal. We are elected to be united to Christ, and in Jesus Christ we have a perfect salvation. In him, we do not just have the possibility of salvation, but we possess a true, full, infallible salvation. In Christ, we receive the gift of faith, and through faith, we receive justification and adoption and sanctification and preservation and glorification. All of the elements of the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation, all that we need to be saved is found in Jesus Christ. And when we receive him by faith, we also receive in him everything we need. Romans 8, 28 through 30 declares, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And notice who secures our salvation. Is it us? No. It's him. He predestines. He calls. He justifies. And he glorifies. God is the one who saves us in Christ from start to finish, from beginning to end. But now, at the end of Article 7, before the scripture proofs, we come to the purpose of election, another part of the question, why did God elect some sinners to salvation in Christ? As we read here in this short paragraph, God did all this in order to demonstrate his mercy to the praise of the riches of his glorious grace. And this is confirmed right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. All of this happens according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. God elects sinners to salvation in order to glorify his holy name. All the glory, honor, and praise and salvation belongs not to us, but to him. You see, congregation, the doctrine of election should bring us to cry out the words of Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. We certainly do not deserve glory, for all we contribute to our salvation is the sin that made it necessary. But God, in choosing to save wretched sinners like ourselves, God demonstrates his amazing faithfulness. For his glorious purpose to show grace to sinners is unchangeable. In fact, notice Article 7 begins by affirming that God's election is his unchangeable purpose. God's purpose cannot change because God cannot change. As we sing in the hymn, "Abide with me, change and decay, and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." Friends, we change our minds. We especially tend to change our minds when people fail us, when they are unfaithful to us. But God does not. God will never go back on his word. And I hope we can see how beautiful and wonderful and comforting this truth is. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And in John 6:37, Jesus assures us, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." He will keep his word. And he will do so not because we are so great, not because we deserve to be saved, not because we are so faithful, but because he chose us by his grace before the foundation of the world to bring glory to his holy name. But now in conclusion, let's consider one final question, a very important question for the sake of our comfort. Am I elect? And how can I know that I am elect? Well, you won't find an answer by reaching up to heaven and trying to find your name in some hidden archive listing off the names of God's elect. You don't need to do that. Instead, simply ask, do I believe in Christ? Has Christ become my only hope? Have I learned to flee to Christ as a poor, wretched sinner, acknowledging that nothing in my hands I bring, simply to his cross I cling? And if Christ has become everything to you, and you certainly are among God's elect. If Christ is your all in all, then clearly God has chosen you for salvation in Christ. The Lord has given us a very clear word saying, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So if you believe, if you trust in Jesus Christ alone, then you can know that you possess his salvation. You may know that you are in Christ and know that you are united to him. Tonight we've considered so many beautiful things about the gospel of God's grace. But one more is this, is how God sees us in Christ. When he looks at his people, he never looks at you apart from Christ. Whenever he looks at you, he sees his Son. He sees his only begotten. He sees his well-beloved Son. If you believe in Christ, if you've trusted in him and are united to him by faith, then you are safe for eternity under the wings of your Savior. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so do not fear, dear believer. You're not saved because of yourself. You're not saved because of something you bring to the table, nor because of anything God foresaw in you before the foundation of the world. You're saved because God loved you. You're saved because in grace God chose to give you to his Son. Isn't that wonderful? You belong to Jesus Christ. And what great comfort this should bring you, both in life and in death. For he will surely keep you safe under his wings, both for your good and for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace and your electing love. We thank you that you chose to save us not based on anything in us, but only based upon your mercy. For we know that we could never deserve the salvation we have received. We know that in ourselves we are wretched sinners, but we thank you for being such a wonderful God. As we leave this evening, comfort us in the knowledge of our election to be in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Cause us to know that what a great privilege we have in belonging to him and abiding to him and he in us. And now, Lord, please bless us this week as we seek to serve you in our various callings. Please return us all safely next Lord's Day here that we might worship you again. We ask all these things in our Savior Jesus' most precious name. Amen.